revealed to me over a period of time that I was days away from dying. Before the 4th of July, I just had a 20-year birthday anniversary, being born again man, 2004, and then that the other song that they sing, that I sought the Lord and He heard me, and that's why I trust Him. That comes right from one of the very first scriptures that became a part of who I am is Psalms 116, 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. And how did He respond? It said, because He turned His ear to me. I'll call on Him all the days of my life. And so here I am 20 years later. Hadn't got over it yet. Amen. Called on Him on the way over here. Look, I'm meditating in the Spirit right now. Lord, I need You right now. Big responsibility. The things that you know, not just Pastor Mark, but God's ordained this moment for me. Big responsibility. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Heaven's listening. Amen. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There's people watching and listening. Big responsibility. Amen. Big responsibility in this time that up. So I'm calling on Him to help me with this brief moment in time that I have to open your hearts and your minds to some things that is probably the most important part that God would have it play in our lives so that we can get some answers. Amen. Results. God's a result, God. What Pastor Mark say when he says the word wisdom? What? Results. Amen. So, results do matter. The outcome of a situation does matter. It'll either draw people to God or it'll push them away from God. The results of a situation. And guess who's been ordained to have the greatest responsibility to point the world to the Lord Jesus Christ? The church, us, the body of Christ. Amen. And He's ordained a way for that to happen. He has ordained a way for that to happen. And so we know that, you know, His ways are higher than our ways. Now, it's not that we can't obtain them. It's not saying that. He's saying, come up here. Let's reason together. I want to reveal my ways. That's Jesus' name, the Logos. He's the great revealer and communicator of divine information. That's in John 1. That's what the Word was, God. And so that's what His name really means, Jesus. He's the great revealer and the communicator of divine information. So I'm going to share some divine information with you tonight. Amen. I want to talk about the covenant of love. You know, in 1 John 4, 8, and verse John 4 and 16, the Bible tells us that God is love. And then John 13:34 is a New Testament command that Jesus said to His disciples. Does anybody know what that is? John 13:34. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also must have love one for another. And by this, all men, say all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And so this covenant of love, I'm going to read some stuff to you, and then these are just thoughts and sayings over a period of time that God shared with me. And then we're going to read some scripture. We're going to read a pattern that God established in the Old Testament. Talking about the highest level of evangelism. In other words, what has God ordained for us as the church, the body of Christ? He set up a pattern in the Old Testament so that once the New Testament got here, his pattern ought to be easily recognized. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'd have the ability, the insight, the courage to carry those things out. God's our helper. And so this covenant of love, which contains the promises or the blessings or the benefits of being in fellowship with God, is a continuing proof that God loves us. So did you hear that? The covenant of God, the covenant of love, it contains the promises and the blessings and the benefits of being in fellowship with God and is a continuing proof that He loves us. Now, this proof that God loves us by the covenant that He has established with us is to be seen by the people of the world and to draw them unto God. It's to be seen. This is our witness in the earth. Now, I like saying this when I have opportunity, whether if it's in the same place or different places. Just because you're hearing something for the first time does not mean it's new. These are eternal truths. And so the proof of this covenant of love is to be seen by the world to draw them to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, all this is from God. This is talking about a new man in Christ Jesus, being born again. And then he says, all this is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so it tells you what that is. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has entrusted to us this message of reconciliation. So I ask you the question, who has God ordained to reach the world? It's us, the church, the body of Christ, the men or women that have been born again. And so, the goodness of God, so this is evangelism, a message about God that causes people to make a decision for God. And the goodness of God, we know the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So the goodness of God and the love of God demonstrated to and through God's covenant people. Now, here are some examples of some things that, as I go through and we start reading verses on this pattern of love that God demonstrated toward His people, for the purpose of the world to see it, that would draw those that witnessed everything that He done through protection and provision back in the Old Testament and then is revealed in the New Testament. These are some of the things that play a part in that gives us the ability to do it once we're born again. So we know that Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God. That's why Jesus said in John 13:34, You are to love one another just as I have loved you. In the Old Testament, that wasn't possible. You couldn't have the love of God go forth. See, that's why the commandment in the Old Testament was just to love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, that's a human level of love. It has limitations. You hear me? So when the Holy Ghost come and he brought the love of God and placed it in our hearts, now all of a sudden we have the ability to love with God's heart. The born again man, new creation, old things are gone. Now the new has come. The ability to love in a new way has come to mankind. So being made in his image is what God done for us. We know that from Genesis 1:26. Being made in his image is what God has done for us. Well, guess what? Being changed into that image is what we do for him. That's 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. Being changed into that image is what we do for him. And this whole third and fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians talking about the transition from the old covenant to the new is just fabulous. And I just want to read this part because this is the subject that... that I'm talking on tonight, talking about the covenant of love. But this 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18, and it says, when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we all, seeing the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces, as in a mirror, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's where I get that from. Being made in his image is what God done for us. But being changed into that image is what we do for him. And so what do we do? How do we recognize that that process is taking place in us? Here's you one example to examine yourself on a daily basis. Everything we say and do is to bring him glory. So on a moment by moment basis, when you're going about doing the things you do on a regular, on a daily basis, you ask yourself, is everything that I say and do bring him glory? Because this is the truth, that everything God says and does is to bring us glory. Because the better we look, the better he looks. Amen. And so, the more that we know and grow in understanding of the covenant of love, the more effective we become in evangelizing the world. And so let's go back into the Old Testament. And so we're familiar with the account of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Which Egypt is the type of the world. Coming out of slavery. We have the type there and the fulfillment of it in the New Testament with a man or woman being born again. Coming out of a life of slavery to sin into a life of being a slave to righteousness. We know that from several different writings in the New Testament. And so we look and see how all the judgments and the plagues and everything fell on Egypt. And yet all through that account where you had the locusts and the flies and the frogs and you had darkness all over the face of the earth. See, we're still keeping in mind protection and provision. That's a part of God's covenant of love. He's establishing a pattern in the Old Testament for what we look for in the New, so it should be easy to recognize. And so all through those plagues and the destruction that came on Egypt, what happened with God's people? See, it was dark all over the face of the earth, but light shined in Goshen. Then you get down even to the last plague of the death of the firstborn. The death angel came. And the Bible said there was wailing throughout Egypt that had never been heard before, but not even a dog snarled in Goshen. I love that. Because I got a dog that anything will wake her up and get her going. So you can imagine the peace and the rest that was on these households, to where a dog didn't even snarl. It had to be a divine act of God working in that situation. Well, so then he give them instructions on the Passover, how to come out, how to prepare the meal, and how to come out. And the Bible says in the Bible says in Exodus 14 that they came out with a diverse ethnic group. So in other words, there were all types of different people in Egypt from different nations that were there and experienced these things that they experienced. But when it was all said and done, they seen what God done for the children of Israel, and they left with them. Are y'all with me so far? We're talking about evangelism and a covenant of love. Now, I'm going to get into this, but I just want to lay some groundwork. And so God was effective in his ministry to his people, to the point that it drew an ethnically diverse group of people to go with them out of Egypt. And so when we learn how to minister to God's people the way God has intended, we will see the world turned upside down through the covenant of love. That is the highest level of evangelism. And so what we want to do is always look for the highest level of truth in Christ Jesus. The highest level. Okay? And so the highest level of evangelism is not through preaching, but through loving. And so that's what John 13:34 said, by this all men will know you are my disciples. And so I noticed this when it come talking about the Apostle Paul. For one example is in Acts 28:23-24. The Bible said Paul preached and some believed and some didn't believe. And then even talking about Jesus, in John 10:42, it said many believed. But there's a little different spirit and nature about what Jesus says in John 13:34. It says, if you have love one for another, all men will know. So which is a higher level? Some, many, or all? Now, I'm not having a play on words here. I'm establishing something for you that we're going to see in the Word, that the doctrine of love, some may believe, but the demonstration of love, all will believe. People will doubt the doctrine of love, which is the preaching, but no one will doubt the demonstration of love, which is the practicing. And so we do have the same ability to love like God loves. We know in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this talks about that when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll receive power. Well, see, we always like to refer that as laying on, and it is. It's included in that. The laying on of hands, the casting out the devils. But there's no greater love. There's no greater power that God has anointed man with than the anointing of love. Matter of fact, all your gifts that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says that that God activates the gifts. Well, we know from 1 John 4, 8, and 16 that God is love. So you can say love activates the gifts. That's no disrespect to the word. God is love. And if God activates the gifts, then love activates the gifts. It's one and the same. There's no distinction between the two. That's what He is. And so, the question I want to ask is, do we have the gifts functioning in the body of Christ at Heritage Christian Center the way we see that Scripture says we ought to have it? Gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, all the ones that are mentioned in the New Testament, do we have those functioning on a regular basis the way the Scriptures tell us that we ought to have it? Well, if we don't, then there's a reason why we don't. And if love activates the gifts, see, we don't need to look at our faith. We need to look at our love. And the demonstration of it, not just the doctrine. See, we know from Acts chapter 6, look at this in Acts chapter 6. Now, so keep in mind that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6, and Acts chapter 11 make a specific reference to the level of love that these people demonstrated to those who would come and partake of the covenant of God, get born again, and become members of the body of Christ. It reveals a specific level of it. To the point where when you get down to the essence of what's being said, that they shared and give to a level that not one among them had a need. Now, I'm sure you guys know that there were times that Peter preached 3,000 was added to the church in one day. And through all that, through these chapters coming up into verse 6, there's never one time mentioned about them being in lack of anything. So let's look at here in verse 1 of chapter 6. Now in those days, as the disciples were multiplied, there was murmuring among the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were overlooked in the daily distribution. So the 12 called the multitude of disciples together and said, "It is not right for us to leave the word, the preaching, and serve tables." That means financial needs. "Brothers, look among yourselves for 7 men who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint over this duty. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And what was said pleased the whole multitude, and so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." And he goes on to name all these men. All right, so This is an account where these men had enough wisdom to know that their ministry to the body of Christ had a direct impact to their witness in the world. They stopped the preaching and called in everybody out of the field to get the loving right. Now, you look in verse 7, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples grew rapidly in Jerusalem. And a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. And this is evangelism at the highest level. And you notice that what I like about this in verse 5, it pleased the whole assembly. You had willing hearts of agreement. None were tight-fisted or selfish. And this brought great joy to them. And then if you look now, Stephen, full of faith, which he was in charge of the distribution, the demonstration of love to the people. Now Stephen, full of faith and what? Power. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. Notice this comes after they got the love ministry doing what it was supposed to be doing. And so our witness to the world is directly affected by our ministry to the body of Christ. See, we witness to the world and we minister to the saints. And therefore, if we're going to be doers of the word, doers of John 13, 34, there's three qualities I want you to look at. Philippians chapter 2. So when Jesus said that you love one another just as I've loved you, we're going to look at three qualities that Christ had a part of his earthly ministry that he demonstrated unto man. See, we have examples of how he done it. We don't have to guess. When people wear the bracelets or the shirts or the bumper stickers, what would Jesus do? We don't have to ask that. We can look and see what he done. Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Now these are three qualities that if we're going to be doers of John 13, 34, have love one for another. Verse 1 in Philippians chapter 2, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any compassion and mercy, then fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being in unity with one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done out of strife or conceit, but in humility let each one esteem the other better than himself. And let each one of you look out not only for your own interest, but also the interest of others. So this verse where it says, consider other people more important than yourself, the first thing would come to your mind and say, well, if I'm always considering other people more important than me, how am I going to get anything done for me? Amen. But it gives you a disclaimer right here. This is how you do it. Not only looking out for your own interest. See, there's your disclaimer. God's saying you don't neglect yourself. But not only looking out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you all, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so then, if you go to Galatians chapter 6, I hope you guys don't mind me reading a few verses. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this law of love is the law of life. The commandment of love is the commandment of life. If you violate the law of love, you're going to violate the law of life. Amen. And so there's some things that won't manifest in the body of Christ the way they should, because everything enters through the door of love. I got a bunch of stuff here on this. Just bringing that to mind, that the greatest benefit that we are free from when it comes to love is the law of sin and death. The law of love is the law of freedom. And so love opens the door to the knowledge. Love opens the door to the protection. Love opens the door to the provision. And love opens the door to the deliverance. And then it also closes the door to temptation. And so all of these things work by faith. But guess what? Guess how faith works? Galatians 5:6 tells us what? Faith works by love. And so in Galatians 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity. So let me ask you something. Is there an opportunity here at Heritage Christian Center for us to have people come through these doors to ask them, just like Jesus did, what is it that you'd have me do for you? See, I know these guys that come here, guys and girls that come here from the Foundry. They got things in their life that they need help with that involves more than just prayer and sharing wisdom with them. Now, those things are valuable. But how are we ever going to find out what it is that they believe in God for if we don't ask them? Or anybody that who may be here, you may be a member here at Heritage, been here 25, 30 years. And there's things that you're still believing God for when it comes to paying your bills or paying for your house or having the cars paid for. Financial things. The serving of the tables is what it's referred to in Acts chapter 6. That should be the greatest question that we have in the body of Christ, in the church, is asking another individual, what is it that I can do for you? And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the house of faith. And so the will of God was established in Christ Jesus. That's what he done. John 13:34, he's establishing the will of God in himself. And the outcome of that will is established in us. See, this thing ain't over with. Christ came and started a ministry. Then he left. And the outcome of that will is established in us. It's the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of love, in you. That's the hope of glory. And therefore, the same principles and commands and laws and orders or statutes, ordinances that Jesus knew and understood and received and kept is for us to know, understand, and receive and to keep. This gives us the ability to get the results in the earth in this life that God the Father desires, which is what? Reconciling the world to Himself. And the way of this way of life produces protection and provision from God for His people at a high level. And that's what the world's been looking for. That's why gangs are so... That's why the government... See, the government has perverted in so many ways... This thing that they're trying to end poverty and share everything with everybody, that everybody's equal. They've taken and perverted a thing that God has intended for the church. That I'm not saying God is a socialist, but He does have a social standard. We read it in the book. Not one among you have a need. Now, the difference is between the way God has designed it to work and the way the governments, these rogue governments, have designed it. One small detail, I want you to pay attention to this. See, God has designed it for it to be through the willingness of the heart that we give. And government wants to mandate it through legislation and take it from you. That's why it'll never work. That's the difference. The willingness of the heart. Makes the gift acceptable. And so. I'm just about finished with what I. So the Old Testament patterns of God's protection and provision for His people. We know that in 1 Corinthians 10, it tells us that these are our examples. And so you can start, if you wanted to read through it, you can start at Exodus 7, verse 1, and go through chapter 12 and verse 50. It establishes the truth about how God intends His covenant people to have an effect on the world. So, Exodus 12, let me give you an example of how this is the first mention of the body of Christ in the Old Testament. Did you know that was in there? Making reference to the body of Christ in the Old Testament. Exodus 12. Now, this is the account where Moses... come to visit with Jethro. That was Moses' father-in-law. So leading up to, I'm going to move over to Numbers 10. But here's another account where a mixed multitude also went up with them along with the flocks and the herd and a large amount of livestock. So this is all taking place after the plagues that happened in Egypt. And then so you move into Numbers chapter 14. And Moses is going back and he's revisiting with Jethro, his father-in-law, and they are recounting the things that God done for His people. And so Moses said to Hobab, the son of Jethro, the Midianite. Now this is Moses' brother-in-law. We are setting out to a place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good to you because the Lord has spoken good things concerning Israel. Now, Moses is making an attempt to evangelize, to get this guy to join the camp of Israel. And Hobab said to him, I will not go. Have you ever tried to tell somebody about Jesus? And then they said, I'll think about it. Or else, I'm not ready to go to church, or whatever it was they used. So Hobab said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my own kindred. And Moses said, please do not leave us, because you know where to camp in the wilderness, and you may be our eyes. So we know from writings in the New Testament, we are individual members of the body of Christ. It mentions the eyes, the ears, the nose, all the different members. So this guy and each one of them have a certain ability. So this guy here, Moses' brother-in-law, Moses recognized that he had an ability. And this is a picture of the New Testament body of Christ coming into play in the book of Numbers. You can be our eyes, and you know where to camp in the wilderness. And he said, moreover, if you come with us, if you'll join us, then it will be that whatever good the Lord does for us, we will likewise do for you. And they set out on a three-day journey from the mountain of the Lord, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them, 3 days' journey, to find a resting place for them. And so the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. Did you know it's God's responsibility to move us to a place of rest? But when did that happen? After Moses promised this man that whatever good God has done for me, for us, we will certainly do for you. And so here's the question that you ask yourself. I've always stayed true to one of my favorite scriptures, is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Did you not know that the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you unless you fail the test? So ask yourself and examine yourself according to this level of evangelism. You feel frustrated. And I've had people ask me, how come we can't get people to come to church? Not just this one. There's other opportunities I have at different churches. But this is the one I'm at now. I say this over and over every time I get up here and I want to preach about this demonstration of love. Because where Jesus ministered all throughout the New Testament, meeting the needs of the people, spiritual, physical, whatever the need was, and the pattern that was established in the Old Testament, the results of that was a great multitude followed them. Miracles, signs, and wonders, the gifts and the manifestations of those gifts were there. So here's where you have to make an honest evaluation of yourself, not in condemnation and shame, but in courage, with insight, and with an attitude of victory, if we'll focus more on the loving instead of the preaching, if we'll stop the preaching long enough to get the loving right, then our preaching won't be disqualified. Mark spends a lot of time preparing. The quality of stuff that comes from this pulpit, we need to be helping him more with it. These people need to be in here. And so you have to ask yourself, the good things that I've experienced in my life, am I willing to do it for other people? Because that's what Moses told him. That's where the pattern started. Whatever it is God does for us, we'll certainly do for you. He promised him that. And then God has made a promise to the world. Come unto me and I'll meet every need. He's made a promise to the world. And how he does it is through his body. Through his people. That's us. We've been made in his image. And being changed into that image is what we do for him. Amen. Father, I thank you this word pleased the whole multitude. And they were in unity of mind and heart. And just like the examples that I read when they sent forth the demonstration of love into the body of Christ and people started receiving benefit of the provision and the protection of God through the body of Christ, the multitude came. Lord, they wasn't just hook fishing, they were net fishing. 3,000 at a time. And the members multiplied. And the gifts manifested. Healing and deliverance. But it all came through the door of love. Because faith works by love. And Lord, we won't examine our faith. We're going to look at our love walk. We're going to do an honest evaluation of ourselves. And if we see that the results are not what we see all throughout the book, then the pattern's not being followed. Because you hadn't changed. You're the same. And your way is the way that you've ordained it to happen. And so, Father, I thank you that this great responsibility you've given us, that we're going to embrace it with joy. And that joy will increase as the love increases. And we're going to see the results of it for your glory. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.